Today's sermon is based on the scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. It is titled, This Time, For Sure. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. At the beginning of a new year, many people set resolutions to do something different or to be a different person. These resolutions may include long-held goals or new aspirations and dreams. There's energy and excitement with looking at one's life and believing that something better is possible for you and in you. Naming a new resolution expresses a commitment in doing the work to make it possible. Or maybe we don't set resolutions. Lots of folks deliberately avoid doing so for any number of reasons. Most postmodernists I've encountered believe that New Year's resolutions are something that should be relegated to the dustbin of traditions past. Do you know anyone like that? And still others look around and see how many others have broken their resolutions year after year, so what's the point of making promises that are impossible to keep? Do we know anyone like that? Still other folks are not afraid to make a promise, but they sure don't want others to know about it so that they can maybe tweak it slightly, or maybe mightily, to justify their own egos that they somehow kept their promise in very modified form, and only then will they spout it to the world at large. I don't know about you, but I've known my share of folks who seem to thrive on their social status and one-upping one another, saying that they can accomplish anything, no matter how hard. Now, common wisdom doesn't promise something you can't follow through on, or on which you cannot follow through. More accurately, I think a safe resolution for me may be to quit my maddening use of dangling participles. But even if there's a new goal that presses us forward to action, we don't intentionally call it a resolution. Personally, I haven't set a New Year's resolution in years. I'm not opposed to them, but they don't have the resonance of a different way of reflecting and setting new intentions that promises to another person might carry. So what is in a New Year's promise? To whom? And for what? Our scripture today is a microcosm and a general reminder of both the limitations but also of the power of a New Year's resolution. We heard the first part on Christmas Eve, didn't we? We heard something about the very nature of God's being, that it is eternal and represents all that was, is, and shall be. And we know that we know from Genesis that God's Spirit flowed over the deep when there was nothing of or on the earth. It's right there in the first few opening verses of the Bible. God is spirit. And we also know that word and wisdom were with God from not just the time of creation of all that we know, but also of all that there is. The known, the unknown, the universe, which is vastly older than any telescope can tell us. So, isn't it amazing that the most awesome power and spirit imaginable came to us in the first place? We can't imagine that, can we? That God would come and be one of us, with us, and want to know us? The primordial spirit of the universe came to us. And yet somehow it's entirely conceivable, from my point of view, that if this mighty spirit came. The world wouldn't know what to do with that miraculous presence. Like almost anything we don't understand, we want distance from those who are different until we can frame it in our experience, in our heads. Look at it through our cultural or national or ethnic lens. And if God can't take our side with our opinion and us triumphant, then it must be blasphemy. You're not God at all. Isn't that right? Because isn't that what we say about the world's other religions and cultures that are not ours? We're the best, so you're with us or against us. I tell you, putting Jesus in our lives and our culture makes us feel downright omnipotent. And I think for all of us, the more competent we are in our workplaces, the more confident we are in our social circles, the more we get over-involved in our families' lives, relying on our intelligence, charm, or ingenuity, the easier it becomes for us individually to adopt that feeling of invincibility and power. Some days I think we should pity God for trying to wrestle some humility out of us. But God is wiser than we know. Right? God knows we can't stay on top forever and reminds us constantly that the dangers of darkness are in our hearts, our souls, and our spirits. God always seeks to bring light to us in subtle ways that require us to have eyes that can see, ears that can hear, and neighbors that care. God gives us these things in life to be able to get beyond ourselves somehow, to see all the signs of joy, life, and love, beyond what we confuse as those same things with control of things, like status, prestige, and money. None of those last four words can give us what God gives and wants most. Things, status, prestige, and money. None of those words give us what God gives and wants most from us. God wants a relationship with us, God's creation. And God is wiser than we know, right? God decided that the way through our armored defenses of nation and ego and control was to put up the vulnerability of a newborn child in our midst, to disrupt all our usual defenses of denial, lies, derision, and dismissal. Who can bring to bear denial, lies, derision, and dismissal against a helpless infant? I think the incarnation was a brilliant move because it forces us to know that God's ultimate power was in coming to us with no power at all. I want to leave you with these final thoughts. Let's look at this another way. What infant holds any delusion about its own power and omnipotence? It's kind of an absurd question, isn't it? But I believe that question's absurdity is what God puts to us in our scripture today, these riddles of light and dark, of presence and eternal. And we've been trying to figure out the gift of vulnerability ever since. And as we built churches that gave Christ ever more power and glory as we understood it, I wonder what Christ would have thought of our understandings. So the new year, for me, is a way of reminding myself of what can be, what I'm striving toward, and letting myself dream of a different world and a better me in it. I don't have a specific thing in mind, but I do rely on figuring out that if somehow I make myself more vulnerable each and every day in the world, maybe the gift of Christmas might become more real in my days ahead in 2022. What do you think? I don't know. But Isn't that the magic of Christmas after all? Giving the unknown into the future and trusting God to guide us faithfully and wonderfully. What a new year this will be indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.